This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and who's on the phone with me. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, David.
And welcome to our final broadcast of 2011.
Wow, sunrise, sunset.
The end of our fourth year.
Get out of here, really?
I'm not going to get out of here. Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thanks. Today we're talking about an article that you wrote with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke.
That appeared in the Reader on December 29th, 2011. In the print edition, it's called, "And the Award for Achievement in Local Politics Goes to," and in the online version, it's called, "Our First Ever Awards for, quote, Achievement, unquote, in Local Politics."
Yeah.
And in this article, you and Mick created and bestowed 17 awards to mostly local public officials for things that you want to call out that they did over the past year. And there's some interestingly named awards like the Bill Clinton Award, the Kryptonite Award, the Jane Bird Award. I think my favorite one is the Miss Manners Award. That's my favorite.
Well, it was a lot of fun doing this. Mick and I collaborate on these sort of gag bits every now and then. Sometimes it's easier to laugh than cry, I guess, or maybe if you laugh, you don't cry. How pathetic our local political state is. So we had a little fun with this one.
What other awards did you consider that didn't show up?
We gave an award to Mike Madigan, the Dick Cheney Award, for an old guy who's secretly running the government from a bunker well stocked with campaign contributions and political minions. We gave that award to Michael Madigan. And then we had another Dick Cheney Award, or I think we call it the Donald Rumsfeld Award, which we gave to John Cullerson. But we ran out of space. We figured, well, what the heck? We already gave what white guy who's secretly running the government awards. So maybe next year, Senator Cullerson.
He'll be waiting.
Yeah, you get your award next year.
Yeah.
Pick it up at the drugstore. pick it up at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
And all the people to whom you bestowed awards are elected officials but three, and that would be CTA head Forrest Claypool, Chicago Teachers Union Karen Lewis, known to her friends as Fuck You Lewis.
That would be because that's what Mayor Rahm Emanuel said to her.
Yes.
Say that to her. Rahm Emanuel showing his utter disdain for the Chicago Teachers Union and their representative.
And the third person who isn't a elected official who you give an award to is United Neighborhood Organization head Juan Rangel. And in the past, you and I have touched on the distinction between politics and government, and it made me wonder, why not have created instead awards for, quote, achievement, unquote, in local government instead of local politics?
What's the difference again? I know we discussed this, but what's the difference?
Well, what's the difference to you?
I don't know. You're the one who raised it. Question on you.
I think everyone knows what government is, right? Government is this thing that is enshrined in our Constitution and, you know, requires that it has three branches, you know, legislative, executive, judicial, both at the state level and at the federal level. And we see it also at the local level, and people serve in it, right? And it has certain functions. That's government. Politics, I have sort of a working definition, which I'm open to change, and I call it the science of relationships in executing government.
Well, I would say that in Chicago, in particular, in Illinois, in general, probably in the country, but I don't study as much. There's really no distinction. I remember having a conversation with a Daily operative, one of the few who talked to me during the years, and he was teasing me. I believe it was a school issue where new schools get open, and I said, well, it was political. And he laughed. I'm shocked that you would accuse us of that. And we both had a good chuckle over that, because the reality is that most, if not all, governmental decisions are shaped by the political ones, the relationships you're talking about, the need to either placate supporters or punish enemies or do the both at the same time or just stick it to people you don't like. I feel as though in Chicago, the political overwhelms the governmental in terms of the distinction that you made. And so I think that, in fact, the government is sort of a subset of politics here.
It strikes me that's a measure of good government, is how much the political considerations don't overwhelm the government.
Well, yes and no. I mean, in some cases, politics, you know, they should bear some relationship in these things. They do have a role in them. I think that to a certain degree, I'm going to sound horrible when I say this, but a well-organized community that effectively articulates its demands and puts pressure on its local officials deserves the rewards from that organizing and those efforts. That part of the problem in Chicago is that we've seen a decline of community organizations. I mean, I'm on a tangent here now, but it wasn't like it was when I first moved to town 5,000 years ago, where we had a vibrant community organization industry. Mayor Daley effectively took control of community organizations in the 90s, and the foundations and the philanthropies that donate money to them. That's part of Baby Daley too, his success in building a machine. So I'm not a complete good government reformer who thinks that you can remove politics from government. I just think that in some cases, there's some bad governmental decisions that are shaped by politics. And what I find particularly annoying is the efforts of the mayor and our state leaders as well, and their spin artists, to pretend as though politics plays no role in what are clearly political decisions, particularly with our schools, as though all these decisions were shaped by the best of intentions for some great principles, in this case, quality education for all, as opposed to doling out contracts to insiders who support the mayor. And thus, we gave the Halliburton Award for the private contractor who quietly runs a wing of government to Juan Rangel, CEO of the United Neighborhood Organization, which just in the news, I don't know if you saw this, got a zoning approval to build a charter school in an area on the far west, northwest side of the city where the local schools were doing every bit as well as the UNO schools. So why would you need a new school area? Why would you dole it out to a charter school? Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious. They're a wing of Mayor Emanuel's political operation. You give them the contract, they get teachers to work for cheap. You undercut the effectiveness of the Chicago Teacher Union just by weakening a potential watchdog over the mayor, and voila, we've solidified Mayor Emanuel's position of power and authority in the city. So,
and the local alderman initially balked about approving that zoning change for the charter school build-out, and he eventually capitulated.
He did, Nick Passato. I wrote about that on the blog. He was under immense pressure. He's a rookie alderman, and he was really in the grinder there. I mean, on one hand, there's a lot of union people who live in his ward, not just teachers, but police and firemen. He himself is a firefighter and was a member of the Firefighters Union. The unions were pretty much in agreement that a charter school, which is a non-union operation, not get the contract, thereby taking union jobs away. And I'm in complete agreement on that issue. I don't see how the public as a whole is served by weakening the profession of teaching, making teachers work for less, giving them fewer benefits, making them more of a grind so that it burn out.
He was quoted in the press as saying he was waiting on this decision so he could get more community input and make sure that the community's needs were served. Why do you think he eventually capitulated?
Well, he was up against very powerful forces, starting with the mayor, who's putting tremendous heat on him, and the Chicago Tribune, which, for reasons I'll never quite know, thinks that salvation in education comes through crushing teacher unions and making teachers miserable. UNO itself, it put all this in together with the fact that they're redistricting the city's ward maps. So he was nervous that he'd be rewritten out of existence. He probably will be anyway. That's a whole other issue. I don't know why an alderman who just got into office vowing to be above politics would worry about his political survival. That's naive as soon as I said it. I realize it's naive as soon as I said it.
It is politics, after all.
You put all those things together, and there's no way a rookie alderman can stand up to the mayor. Now, having just said that, Brendan Riley was the model. He comes from the 42nd Ward, and I know you and I talked about this a couple of years ago. Mayor Daley, who was probably even more powerful than Rahm, or at least as powerful, wanted to shove the Children's Museum into Grant Park, and the neighbors didn't want it, and Brendan Riley stood with the neighbors. Eventually, Daley forced the zoning change through the city council over Riley's objections. But the result of all that is that Riley is now revered throughout his ward, and he's unbeatable. I don't think anybody ran against him the last time. In fact, the Tribune went so far as to endorse him, even though nobody's running against him, because in that case, they sided with him on the issue of the Children's Museum of Grant Park.
It shows what having a backbone will get you.
Yeah, that's what I always argue to the aldermen, not that they listen to me on anything, but I think that most people in Chicago like to think that their aldermen would represent their best interests, push come to shove. They don't like it to watch their aldermen capitulate. You know, running contrary to that is this theory espoused by many independents as well. You know, you've got to be more than just a rabble-rouser. You have to play in the system, play along with the powers that be. Otherwise, you look foolish and silly. I've never subscribed to that. So that seems to be how a lot of aldermen justify violating their principles.
Well, we'll end it there, and we'll end the year on that note. Ben, thanks for all the interviews and thoughts this year.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for coming up with good questions, reading my stories, and Happy New Year to you and everybody else.
Great. And if you want to hear more of our interviews from this year or the past 3 years, you can go to MrRadio.org and you can subscribe so you can receive them automatically. You can either find instructions for subscribing at MrRadio.org, or you can go to iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.